I'm Rashmi Varma, and I teach in the Department of English and Comparative Literary Studies. I teach courses in postcolonial literatures from Africa and South Asia, and I teach feminist theory, transnational feminism. The way in which I approach thinking of feminism in a global context is to demystify the idea that feminism is a Western idea or a Western movement, and to sort of think about it as something that comes out of contact and out of sometimes a collision, sometimes collaboration, sometimes cooperation and conflict between the West and East, between the North and South. So one of the things that my students learn in my classes, hopefully, is that feminism has sort of a long history, and that even in Europe and in the West, ideas of feminism only come about when there is a sense of women outside the boundaries of the West. So I think of it as a kind of a dialogic movement rather than something that emerges in the West and then travels outwards to other parts of the world. There are many different kinds of feminist movements. Many have been focused on identity and on cultural rights, so the rights of, you know, minority women, the whole question of refugee women, for instance. Now, those I think are very important questions as societies are becoming more multicultural, more mixed. There's a sort of global movement of people, and including women on a very large scale, happening today. So there are sort of those kinds of questions of how different women, you know, can come together on a common platform. But then there are also questions that women face that have to do with not just identity, but survival. So questions of access to water, rights to land, reproductive rights, and so on. And I think, of course, these are all, you know, connected, because the ways in which different women are often identified shapes many times the kinds of access that they can have to resources and to different kinds of rights. I think what I hope will happen, you know, there's a whole sort of very strong idea right now that has to do with intersectionality, that we can't think of gender as an isolated category of social analysis, that gender has to be integrally tied to questions of race, of ethnicity, of sexuality, of course, and all of these other ways in which people's lives, you know, are defined and that they get carried out. So I think that what really the move now is to complicate the idea of gender in terms of all these other larger movements which are going on, and of course to inject the gender question into those movements. So whether it's, you know, the outpouring of students, you know, on various campuses over fee hikes, or whether it's the Arab Spring and women coming out onto the streets in the Arab world, or whether it's the Occupy movement, you know, women are everywhere, and the issues of gender are very much tied to questions of the economy, of class, of race, and so on. I see feminism moving into that direction and taking all of those issues on board. You know, I teach literatures in English from Africa and from South Asia, and of course also in translation. And I think that that's really, really significant, because for a long time, my discipline of English literature had been sort of narrowly defined in terms of literature of North America and of Britain. But I think that sort of the long history of colonialism, the long history of globalization, really you know, helps us question the idea of the kind of narrow definition of certain disciplines. Because, of course, due to British colonialism, English is a language that is spoken in large parts of the world, in the Caribbean, in Africa, in South Asia, in Singapore, in Hong Kong, you know, in the Philippines, and so on. So it's very much a language that is, of course, global now, but it also has sort of this long history. So studying that literature makes us aware of not just English literature, but that there are many Englishes and there are many literatures. And it also helps students and, you know, teachers sort of think about the historical lineage that has led to, you know, the fact that English is now such a global language. So when I teach literatures, post-colonial literatures from Africa and South Asia, we definitely sort of focus on this idea, because many students come with the assumption that writers who are writing in English are writing for a Western audience. There's still this sense that somehow English properly belongs to the Anglo-American world. But when they start reading these amazing writers from Kenya, from Nigeria, from South Africa, Pakistan, India, and they sort of read the different nuances and intonations and the way in which English has been domesticated and appropriated and, you know, modified, you know, is really an eye-opener for them. So I think it's really important, you know, to have space for this kind of study. Every project that I've worked on has been interdisciplinary, because I think that no one discipline can capture the complexity of, you know, a given topic. So for instance, one of the first things I worked on was the postcolonial city. Although I was looking at the literary representations of London, Nairobi and Bombay to contextualize those representations, and to properly understand them, I needed to sort of turn to historical discourse. I needed to turn to, for instance, political writings, and to look at the work of geographers and social scientists to think of how the city had been conceptualized, in the modern world from the 19th century onwards, and that literary texts I found were very often in conversation, you know, with these other discourses, with these other fields. So to narrowly just study literature, I mean, maybe narrow is not the right word, but to exclusively just look at the literature really did not make sense. Similarly, when I do feminist work, I think women's studies, for instance, as a discipline, and now many people consider it to be a discipline, is interdisciplinary, of course, in its very formulation. Because you're bringing together knowledge and knowledge practices from various disciplines. And my current work on the representations of indigenous people from India, I'm looking at art, I'm looking at film, I'm looking at literature, because those are sort of all interrelated sites where there have been these contestations about who is indigenous, what is indigeneity, and so on and so forth. So for me, I cannot think of doing anything that is not interdisciplinary.
This podcast was recorded and edited by Andamini. Music by Bensound.